Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
At our church, we have people repeat a prayer who want to place their faith in Christ.
Jesus did all the hard part. He did everything but pray your prayer.
I'm going to ask you just to pray with me right now. Just say these words with me.
You can say those words every day for the rest of your life and die and be separated from God.
The scripture does not say that Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel and said that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, who would like to ask me into their hearts?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. With Steve Brown. Or James Earl Jones, if you prefer. This is Wretched Radio. I'm your host. I've run out of deep-voiced guys. Okay, there's James Earl Jones. There's Steve Brown. Do you know who Steve Brown is, Jimmy? He's a Christian broadcaster, and his voice always sounds...
Morgan Freeman.
Nah, he doesn't have that. He's got a great voice, but it's still not the... You say, Friel. Why are you singing like you're a replacement for the bass in the Oak Ridge Boys? Are they still touring? I don't know. But the point is, the schmutz in Atlanta. You say, when is pollen season in Atlanta? And the answer is yes, because every season is pollen season. Never had them till I crossed the Mason-Dixon line into the south, and suddenly... It's just perpetual around here. And then you got to figure out what the right medicine is, because you got your Zyrtec, which is different than Claritin, which is different than Allegra. And they all work differently on different people. So you got that little Russian roulette thing going on until you finally figure out a way to stop the post-nasal drip from dripping down the back of your throat and causing you to sound like Daddy sings bass all the time. You know, Jimmy, maybe it might not have helped. Did I tell you I was just in Buford, South Carolina?
Ah, you were.
That town, I'm telling you, it is a lovely place to visit. And so is Bluffton, right on the coast. Hilton Head is mixed in there. Although here's what I've learned about Hilton Head. You can't really appreciate Hilton Head because it's these golf courses and resorts, and they're all just buried behind trees. So you never see them. You just drive through Hilton Head. It is a beautiful part of the country, and there is a magnificent church there called Community Bible Church. Jimmy, you're gonna love this.
What's that?
They preach for 60 to 65 minutes there. Yeah, two services. That could explain this a little bit too. It was magnificent. The people there are so dear. And Jimmy,
you okay?
People said nice things about you.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
I want to hear.
Don't be shy on these details. Don't care about your tootling around the low country. Tell what That's people right. said about me. I guess they like it.
Okay. Yeah. I like them too.
That's just about all I've got. Let's get to church news, shall we? Community Bible Church, thank you for allowing me to be there. And thank you for, watch this segue, not being a postmodern church. By the way, Community Bible Church, also WHCB Radio. Oh, what a good station. They did move us from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock. So that's where we currently are in the roster. In Bluffton, South Carolina, which that downtown, I'm telling you, and it's a foodie town. Oh, man, if you like good food, they got it brewing in Bluffton. Seven signs you're in a postmodern church. Well, I think one of the signs you're not is that they preach for 60 to 65 minutes. We had dinner with Carl Brogy. He's the pastor at Community Bible Church on Saturday night. And he was emphatic about a number of things because he's an emphatic kind of guy. He was emphatic. 60 to 65 minutes. Don't land the plane before then. It goofs everything up because they got a schedule. They actually run the place, you know, like like they respect and honor people's time. So they start on time, they end on time, and it has to do with the nursery staff, the Sunday school classes. If you end early, it just goofs them up. So don't. I was told rather clearly. He was also exceedingly emphatic about eschatology. He's one of the, wow, and does he know his eschatology? Jimmy, I actually want to bring him on here. Mm. If he's ever, Carl, if you're ever in Atlanta, which I think he is sometimes, we got to get him in here. Man, he's just got it beat. He just has it down because he studied it. Mm. Because he believes that it actually changes your life. Doesn't all theology? It does. It changes your life. That's what theology should do. It should cause something to change, be affected, honed, refined. And eschatology is no exception to that rule that we are awaiting with expectancy. It helps us to live with an understanding, Jesus wins, I don't need to freak out, and I don't need to become a Christian vigilante. Because Jesus is winning, and he's going to triumph. Isn't that what the book of Revelation is about? Jesus wins. And so he was emphatic about eschatology. And then the other thing about Karl Brogy, you know, having dinner with him is a little bit like having dinner with Ray Comfort. If you ever spend time with Ray, well, good luck spending time with Ray, because if he sees a cat walking by, he'll try to give it a gospel tract. I mean, he's just doesn't sit still. And Carl was that way too. Everybody who came near the table was caught in his dragnet. Hello, and who are you? He's a super friendly guy. Hello, and who are you? What's your name? Do you go to church here? Do you have a Christian background? And he witnesses to them, or he invites them to church, usually both. And his rule, and Pastor, this is a shout out. This is something that you might want to consider. Community Bible Church is a mega church. It's massive. It's a huge, I don't know what it seats, but it's a lot. And then, you know, it's got the balcony and It's just and the education wings and the banquet room. I mean, it's just an amazing place. And Carl has been there, I believe, for 30 years. And his rule is every week he's committed to inviting 10 people or witnessing to 10 people. That's it. That's the like the ironclad Karl Brogy rule that he does not break. And he makes it clear. If on Saturday night you've missed your quota, well, then go to a 24-hour gas station, Walmart, whatever is open, and find some carbon 14 units and invite them to church or witness to them. And I think the fruit is seen at the church. And what if then every elder were doing that? And what if then that caught on with people in the congregation? Something as simple as, hey, thanks for taking care of us. If you ever are looking for a church, come and check us out. We'd love to have you, or whatever it is that you say. Jimmy, I'm still kicking myself. Did I tell you about the Rhodes, Cody Rhodes? Did I mention I had dinner with him?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes. I was having dinner with Cody Rhodes. He's a WWE guy. You'd think I know after having dinner with him. And, he's got that blonde hair. And I think he's like one of the top echelon guys in the wrestling world. I was having dinner with him. Well, okay, he was having dinner a few tables away in the same restaurant, but close enough. And the entire time, and people were just all over his table, you know, hey, everybody, can I take a picture with you? And they were all excited. And I'm sitting there scheming the whole time, how do I invite this guy to church? And I was kicking myself that I didn't bring one of our Alpharetta Bible Church cards. I was so agitated because I just wanted... Sir, I see you take care of your body. When you need to take care of your soul, come see us. Out of there. And then I might have told him that his dad was a really nasty wrestler. I might have slipped that in there because he was. I think his name was Dirty Dusty Rhodes. He was a bad boy. Claimed to be from Texas. I don't know because I think the Cody Rhodes fellow... I think he lives right down the street. I think he's in Roswell, Jimmy.
Well, I just looked it up. He appears to live in Marietta. And you said he was a top guy. He's actually the champion.
Well, I guess that would be the top right there.
That's right. That's what it says.
Yeah. And I wish that I'd had a card to give to the guy, because you never know. Remember Robbie Rage? He was the WWE wrestler who was angry, hence the name Rage. And this guy was, he was, what's the term these days for when you work out really hard and you get all bulky? You know what I'm talking about, Jimmy, because you started working out again. How's that working for you?
Slowly.
Well, it's your age. You better.
That's right. You're
back to the weight room. Well, this, he was just ripped, still is. And he was sitting in a pew. That's what you call, I guess, a bench at the restaurant, the booth. He's sitting in his booth with his muscles flexing and his gold chains and his tank top. And a guy sat down with him in his booth and talked to him about his soul. Robbie Rage got saved. Now you'll struggle to find a nicer person on the planet when you and I are intentional about evangelizing. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at FortisPlus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at FortisPlus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at FortisPlus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Allegra, if you're wondering, this is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I went with the Allegra because we happen to have some in the cupboard to take care of the post-nasal drip, which is the reason I sound pretty much like I've got a clothespin on my nose. Sorry for that. Let's get to church news. Enough about me and my allergies. Seven signs you're in a postmodern church. This was in the Christian Post, Joseph Matera. See if any of these marks sounds like maybe your church. Number one, they don't preach the absolutes of salvation. They don't preach the exclusivity of Jesus. That's offensive, don't you know? Yeah. Last time I checked, Christianity is offensive. It's the only religion that says no. No, you can't. No other religion is willing to confront an individual in their sins and say, you're in big trouble and there's only one escape hatch for you. And that is Jesus Christ. You must run to him alone. That's offensive. And Paul was not afraid to offend, because he preached nothing but Christ and him crucified, which was even more offensive then than it is today, because crucifixion was so vivid in the minds of the hearers. They ended, whoa. Your God became a human being, was flogged, beaten, and hung on a tree. You're telling me that's God. And I need to turn from everything and put my trust in him. That's what you're telling me, Paul. That's what he told him. And guess what happened? Christianity exploded throughout the Mediterranean. It exploded everywhere that he went, and he wasn't the only one. We know the other apostles were running around, but we know mostly about the missionary activity of the apostle Paul because he penned most of the books in the New Testament. His evangelistic work bore fruit, and he preached the exclusivity of Jesus without worrying about what people might think. It's amazing. When he was in Athens, he was preaching to people who were pantheistic. They would worship anything. They had a God for this, a God for that. And what did Paul say? No, sorry. There's only one true and living God. His name is Jesus Christ. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You have to cast down all of your idols. You need to stop profiting from this pagan system, and you need to believe in him exclusively. That's always been offensive, but these days, postmodernism has caused far too many churches to say, we can't talk like that. Number two, they have low standards of morality. You could stop right there. Joseph Matera actually finished the sentence. They have low standards of morality for volunteers and musicians. Once upon a time, people need to be tested and tried and examined and shown to be faithful. Can you play the guitar? Get up there, son. You're willing to be with the kids? Get in that classroom. That's a mistake. It has clearly not helped the church, as we see the America that we once knew become this other thing because of the waning of Christianity. You've got to ask yourself, well, how exactly, what caused this waning? And I would say that it is because of the local church. If the local church is strong, the neighborhood is strong. If the neighborhood is strong, the community is strong. If the community is strong, the city is strong. You get the point. I think it's because of the weakness of the church in succumbing to postmodernism and the sense that, you know, we can't be judgmental. Besides, we kind of need a warm body because we're the ones responsible for this church succeeding. Number three sign, you're a postmodern church. Sermons are self-help messages without any reference to sin and repentance. Ain't that the truth? Oh, we just did a video, and it was a guy. And I suppose you could find a video where maybe he's used the word sin in the course of his 30-year career, but probably not. And certainly not in a way that reveals to the individual they got a big problem with God, because that's just not what people want to hear. That might be, but it's what people need to hear. And I honestly believe right now, the only reason that I think that we will not see a revitalized, strengthened church, and then hence a different America, is because we will let this cultural moment pass by. There are cultural moments when people are feeling a certain something, and I think it's unmistakable right now. There is a shift. There's a vibe out there, especially on the university campuses. Something's going on, and people are trying to figure it out. And right now is the time for the church to step up and start preaching about the old rugged cross, start preaching about sin and righteousness and judgment. Because I think that people are looking for something that causes them to go, oh, no wonder why I've been so miserable. I've had it all wrong. And then to extol Jesus Christ and to lift him up high, which we're going to talk about this one of these days. That's one of the marks of revival. Jonathan Edwards identified that genuine revival comes from Christ exalting preaching. Ask yourself the question when you see these so-called revival crusade campus things that they do where there's 6 hours of music over and over and over again, and then a little bit of preaching. Is it Christ exalting preaching? Now, I'm sure it mentions Jesus somewhere in there, but that doesn't mean that is Christ exalting preaching. Do we lift him up to show how magnificent he is? That's going to be my goal. That's kind of where I'm sitting right now, thinking about Oklahoma when we go there in October 20. At the end of this month, we're going to Oklahoma and Oklahoma University, Oklahoma State University. It's to do just that and then open it up for Q&A, because I want the questions to be about Jesus. I want them to be about the exclusivity of Christ. I want these questions from students not to be dealing with the politics and all the social issues, which I know will come up. I want it to be about Jesus. That's what we want to bring to the campus. And that is what should be coming out of our pulpits. If not, you might be a postmodern church, number 4 sign. Their view of societal ethics, relativistic. Don't talk about the things that everybody's talking about. It could turn some people, some Democrats might not come back. Right. That's true. They might not. And your job is to preach Christ, him crucified, and let the chips fall. And when we talk about social issues, if somebody gets their nose bent out of joint, what are we? I mean, what are we as preachers? Are we coddlers? Are we the people that are just, we want to make people feel good for 20 minutes on a Sunday morning? It's not our role. Our role is to work in tandem with the Holy Spirit. And among the other works of the Spirit, convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment, it's shining the light on evil deeds. It shouldn't be all that the pastor preaches about, but if it's never there, it could be because it's a postmodern church. Number 5 sign. Anyone can be a member without proper vetting regarding doctrine or salvific status. In fact, a lot of churches these days are just downright giving up on membership. You come 2 Sundays, you're in. That's not a strong church. Now, I do believe that we can make the front door so difficult to get through that it's unbiblical. But having said that, shouldn't we at least have a door? Shriners make you go through a bunch of stuff to become a Shriner. Gym membership. You got to do something to be a gym member. If not, they don't let you through the door. Shouldn't we have some standards inside of the church? Number 6 sign, you're a postmodern church. This won't surprise you. The focus is more on a worship experience than on theological depth in preaching. Man, I'm telling you, the worship experience at church, it is so crucial these days. When did that happen? Music has always been a part of the lifeblood of the church. The church has produced some of the finest music the world has ever known. But it's different now. It's just, that's everything, Daddy-O. And if you don't have a kickin' praise band with a really groovy worship leader, you just ain't gonna grow. And finally, the number 7 sign that you are a postmodern church. The main goal is to garner crowds, not to make disciples. And that is a problem. Because if I remember correctly, those were Jesus's parting words. Go and make sure you pack the place with a lot of people who aren't really serious about me, but think that they can come on a Sunday morning, get some life hacks, and life will be better. I don't think any translation, including the Message, says that. We are to make disciples. Otherwise, we could be a postmodern church. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Vancouver's Park Board unanimously voted to apologize for hosting a Harry Potter-themed event in one of their parks. Not because anything went wrong, but because author J.K. Rowling believes men cannot be women. Yeah, speaking of courage under pressure, an Oklahoma State student learned that honoring the dead comes with conditions. Josh Wilson gave brief remarks commemorating Charlie Kirk the day after his assassination, describing him as, quote, a father, a husband, a devout Christian, and a shining light. Wilson wore a 45-47 hat that Kirk had personally given him. The university coordinator pulled him aside afterward, warning that the hat violated nonpartisan traditions and was triggering to those with different lived experiences. The only problem, Oklahoma State confirmed no such rule exists in writing and has never been enforced. The Trump administration's climate working group accomplished something remarkable. They exposed the entire climate industry as the house of cards it always was. For years, Washington treated junk science, linking every weather event to carbon emissions, as gospel, driving economically devastating regulations. The working group's report dismantled the flawed methodology and confirmation bias, demanding actual science guide policy rather than grant-driven agendas. And Louisiana Attorney General filed suit this week challenging the FDA's approval of mail-order abortion pills, arguing that the Biden administration's 2023 policy change enables activists in blue states to mail abortion drugs into states where chemical abortions are illegal. The suit invokes the Comstock Act, which explicitly bans mailing abortion drugs. Mifepristone works by starving an unborn child to death by cutting off nutrients. Then a second drug induces labor to expel the deceased baby. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announced that ICE is doubling down in Chicago, purchasing more buildings to operate from despite Mayor Brandon Johnson's ICE-free zones. The Trump administration's Operation Midway Blitz has yielded over 1,000 arrests, while anti-ICE agitators have turned violent. Nearly 500 National Guard troops have deployed to restore order in what's being called a war zone. Finally, some perspective we're celebrating. Soul on Fire hit theaters recently, telling the story of John O'Leary, who survived burns over 100% of his body at the age of 9. Given a 1% chance to live, O'Leary credits his mother's refusal to let him choose victimhood. In a culture terrified of suffering, this film offers a pretty countercultural truth that a hard life can still be a great life, and a life is always worth living. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at fortisinstitute.org. And also, don't forget, you can subscribe to this here Fortis News podcast on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I ended session 2 by saying that psychiatry is medicalizing the mind, but the mind isn't material.
This is Wretched Radio. That, of course, is our worth. The dulcet tones of Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Fellow, his new resource, Life Without the Numb. Did you miss episodes 1 and 2? Fret not. Just visit fortisplus.org and you can watch this presentation that he did in our Fortis studios with a studio audience to help Christians navigate through mental health issues, to navigate through the confusion about SSRIs. His book is titled Lies My Therapist Told Me, but he delivered 10 lectures, and we've turned it into a full-blown production, which is available, as always, for free at fortisplus.org. It includes a study guide, which means you can use this in Sunday school if you'd like to. It will help people to sort what they're to do when they are inevitably slapped with a label. If you and I had to spend, 2 hours with a secular psychiatrist, and they had their DSM-5 in hand to identify all of our medical, our issues, our mental health issues, do you know how many labels you'd have? They wouldn't stop diagnosing you or me, and especially Jimmy. Why? Because that's the society that we lived in. We have let mental health experts come up with criteria that are so ridiculous so often in the DSM-5 so that they can medicalize everybody's issues. Everybody who colors outside of the line just a wee little bit, we got to slap a label on it. Why? So that we can make it a medical issue, which means that we can medicate the problem, or so they proclaim. Greg Gifford is going to help us understand that emperor has no clothes. And one of the most important things that we can learn in order to navigate the choppy waters of the therapeutic complex that is just steamrolling so many families is to understand the distinction between the mind and the brain. This is episode 3, Life Without the Numb. Did I mention it's available for free at fortisplus.org?
According to the scripture, you can't reach out and touch the mind. You can reach out and touch the brain. You wouldn't want to, I would imagine. Most of us don't want to touch our own brains. I don't want to see that thing. It's probably really small anyways. You could touch the brain. According to the scripture, in passages like these, the mind is not material. Look at this with me. Okay, Exodus 36, tabernacle, the construction of the tabernacle is the context. Exodus 36, verse 1, Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Okay, this is the broader context, that Bezalel, Aholiab, they are commissioned to actually craft a beautiful tabernacle. Let's continue. Verse 2. So Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come do the work. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work of the sanctuary. Okay, pause there for a second. Your Bible most likely says something like heart or mind. Where does the Lord put the skill? Every craftsman in whose mind or whose heart? According to this passage, God is putting talent and skill within the heart or the mind. And the heart or the mind are used interchangeably here. Did God perform brain surgery? Is that what's happening here? No, the mind here is immaterial. Okay, let's keep going. Go over to Job with me. If we're not careful, we start with a cultural understanding of the mind, which is that the mind can be treated with material remedies. We start with the understanding that the mind can be medicalized. That's what the secular therapeutic would teach us. So we have medical doctors to treat the mind. Now, Job 38, let's start in verse 35, but my emphasis will really be on verse 36. Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and the clods stick fast together? This is the humiliation of Job. Remember the beginning of this chapter where God says, all right, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to answer you. You come, you stand like a man. And Job's response is, I should have covered my mouth all along. Who am I? But the question is, who puts wisdom in the inward parts and gives understanding to the mind? Who gives understanding to the mind? Or the heart? You could use it interchangeably here in the Old Testament. Where does God give understanding?
Jimmy, I got a question for you. He's using Bible verses. What did he call that? The old what?
The Old Testament? Yeah.
Wow. Who knew there was so much to be learned from the left side of the book?
That immaterial mind, that immaterial heart. Interesting. Okay, let's keep going. Let's go over to Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 6. As you're turning to Daniel, let me just give you a couple of contextual things. Remember, Daniel has been faithful. That's what the first six chapters are about. Even though he was exiled from Judah in Babylon, he's been a faithful man the whole time. And you can tell he doesn't fear man. He's kind of made it past that point. He doesn't fear man. Keep your gold. I don't need it. I'll tell you what their handwriting on the wall means. In chapter 6, he's trapped. Darius is making a rule by which Daniel would be indicted. You remember this. This is the lion's den, chapter 6. Okay, let's start in verse 10. When Daniel knew the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees three times a day and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or any man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Darius, you're trapped, buddy. We got you. Obviously, these men didn't mean Daniel's welfare, but Darius is trapped in his own law. So look at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed, and he set his mind to deliver Daniel. His mind, the immaterial component of who he is. He had to follow through on it ultimately. He puts Daniel into the den of lions. As an old man says, Daniel, may your God protect you. Doesn't sleep a wink that night, comes back in the morning, says, Daniel, you in there, buddy? May the king live forever. I'm good. I'm okay. What did Darius set his mind to do to deliver Daniel? Set his mind. Did he set his brain or his mind? Set his mind, according to the scripture. In the Old Testament, you're going to see a term used where it's either translated as heart or mind, heart or mind. It just simply means the inner part of who you are, the gut, the loins. You couldn't reach out and touch the immaterial heart or the immaterial mind. If you're using the mind the way the Bible uses the mind, according to the Old Testament, it's immaterial. Okay? Let's go to the New Testament now.
No, wait a second. You mean there's harmony between both testaments? Yeah, of course. Of course there is. What's one more reason we don't unhitch the Old Testament? Your mind is who you are. Your heart is who you are. You are not your brain. That is clear in the Old Testament and the New.
Let's go over to Luke. This is a neat post-resurrection experience. The road to Emmaus has already occurred. On the road to Emmaus, remember, Jesus shows up and he reveals himself to two disciples. And they said, weren't our hearts even burning within us as we spoke with him? The next scene in Luke's gospel is actually going to cut back to Jerusalem, where Jesus comes and he stands among the disciples.
By the way, if I could inject, and I'm going to, their hearts were burning, not their brains.
Let's start in verse 44. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
He didn't open their brain. He opened their mind. Old Testament and New Testament makes a distinction between the brain and the mind. The secular therapeutic seeks to tinker with your brain without knowing what they're actually doing. And the Bible says, medication cannot touch your mind. What are the implications of this? Courtesy of Greg Giffert, next on Wretched.
You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though. That's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok, your marriage is under attack, and the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Kratz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Glosson, Dr. Greg Giffert, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 Steps to Becoming a Man After God's Own Heart, and it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood, real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 Steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 Steps to Becoming a Man After God's Own Heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bickney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Giffert, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So good and so free. This is Wretched Radio, life without the numb. Scoot. You heard me. I said scoot. Skedaddle. Maybe it's a nicer word. Skedaddle over to fortisplus.org and look for Life Without the Numb. It's our latest release. We're dropping a new episode every single week. It is free. It has a study guide. It's perfect for Sunday school. Watch it at home. Download our app on your thing with the Dealey Bob that you got on the TV screen with all those boxes that are there, Amazon Fire and Hulu and Roku and all of those things.
That's it.
And you can have the Fortis Plus app, and it's all free, and you can learn the difference between the mind and the brain. And I'm telling you, this knowledge alone, this nugget from Life Without the Numb, it will help you. This alone will help you to sort, should I be taking a pill that plays with my brain when the Bible says I actually have a mind issue?
Go over to Romans. Romans doesn't paint a super pretty picture here. When we're looking through the scripture, the mind exists in every person. Every person has a mind. In the Bible, you may have a distorted mind, a darkened mind, a callous mind, a corrupt mind. According to the Bible, an unbeliever would have a mind that is blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4, blinded from seeing the light of the gospel of Christ. Look at Romans 1 with me. Romans 1 speaks of the unbelieving mind. In light of verse 24 and following, God has given them up to their impurity. Verse 28, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased what?
Mind.
You see it, right? A debased mind. A debased brain? Did God give them up to a debased organ? Dementia sets in for everyone in verse 28. No, it's a mind. The term mind is used here. The term mind that is also used in Romans chapter 12. Turn over there. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. There's that term mind again. But there's something different from the corrupt mind, the calloused mind. Colossians says the sensuous mind. There's something different here. Your mind is not to be conformed to this world, but it's to be transformed. The believer's mind at the moment of salvation is radically changed. It's transformed. So everyone has a mind, but the mind that is unsaved is darkened and corrupt and calloused. It's set on earthly things. But according to the scripture, at the moment of salvation, you're given a new mind. The mind that can finally understand. What happened to the disciples in that room when Jesus shared with them all the things from the law? What happened to them? They finally got it in their mind. If you were saved as an adult, you can remember that moment. You remember that moment. You heard about Jesus 2,000 times. You were around the church in all of these ways, but then there was that moment when God saved you, and it's like something clicked.
Yep.
You were enlightened, according to the scripture, illuminated. You saw for the first time. So what changed? Your mind. Your mind changed. This in Romans 12, verse 2, is immaterial. Your mind is immaterial. It's the seat of your faculty or cognition. It's where your thoughts come from. It's where your choices come from. In Romans 12, verse 2, don't let your mind become like the world's. Don't think like the world. Colossians 3, don't set your mind on earthly things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All right, let me give you one more. If this were not enough, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then I'll stop making you play Bible sword drill with me. Although I like it and I think it's fun. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is important to note. Paul is talking to Christians. We could say the Corinthians were not the best of examples of Christians for sure, right? We could say that. There's immorality in the church. They're suing one another. It's a mess, all right? It's just a mess. And in chapter 2, verse 14, Paul is addressing them as Christians, as immature Christians, but Christians nevertheless. And look at what he says in verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Make sure you capture this last part. Verse 16. But we have the mind of Christ. You have the brain of Christ? All of us? We get chopped into small portions? Jesus has a human body and human organs. Does Jesus have a human brain that he shared with all of us? Or what do we all have now? The immaterial thinking like Jesus. You think like Jesus, Philippians 2:5. You have the mind of Christ. You're to think like Christ thinks. He doesn't exalt himself. He takes on the form of a servant. He lowers himself. He humbles himself to even be crucified. Who has the mind of Christ? Believers do. Believers, even immature ones. Chapter 3, verse 1. I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Even young Christians have that beginning renewed mind. So what's the takeaway? You're like, all right, Gifford, get to the point. All right, I'm getting to the point. Here's the point. The secular therapeutic has actually misunderstood the very nature of the mind. It's medicalized the immaterial. Your mind, according to the scripture, is immaterial. So what does that mean practically? No medication is ever going to change your mind. No psychotropic is going to get to the root of the issue. When we talk about the mind the way the Bible talks about the mind, it doesn't need health. It needs transformation. It needs renewal. The mental health terminology isn't only a counterfeit, and it is, it's a competitor. It's a competitor. Instead of saying, Lord, I need you to transform me, I say, Lord, I'm going to my psychiatrist and they can help bring about change. I need to go to my therapist. How is it, answer me this, how is it that an unsaved therapist can help me as a believer with my mind? Christians, we have to wake up.
It's powerful.
We have to wake up.
Yeah.
We're going to the secular therapeutic to get help with the immaterial. This ought not to be. So instead of saying, hey, Gifford is just debunking and burning it all down, I'm saying, no, let's do something here. Let's do something as good Christians. Let's let the Bible define the mind. Are you open to that? Let's let the Bible define the mind. And if the Bible is defining our terms, then the mind is immaterial. So then we have to begin to say, well, how does an immaterial thing like the mind get a disease? How does an immaterial thing like the mind contract a disease? Well, if there's no medical evidence you have a disease, there's no verifiable proof that your mind actually is sick, then it makes perfect sense how the DSM could make up all of these categories for unverifiable diseases, because we're talking about something that's immaterial. If we wake up to the reality that the Bible has better answers, then hear me on this. Salvation becomes more dear to us. Repentance, the metanoia, the change of our mind is more dear to us. What if we've been accepting inferior solutions when God has better answers for our mind? And he does.
Indeed, he does. Have you heard that there's a new therapist in town? Doesn't have a shingle. There's no waiting room. You just jump online. It's your AI therapist. And it is exploding in popularity. People are, they can't get enough of going to these AI therapists, which are just bots. They're not even real human beings who glean from the internet, depending on how they're programmed, to affirm you, to say nice things about you. I was just reading an article about this AI therapy business, and one of the individuals that they were talking about who utilizes it, she never judges me. She never pressures me. Well, maybe there's some things that need to be corrected. AI therapy, it is just a booming industry, and it reveals the struggles that people are having and their desperate desire for change. I say Let's get into the arena. Let's let the world know the Bible has better answers for you, starting with the distinction between the mind and the brain. What an opportunity for an evangelistic outreach, I'm telling you. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.